Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, named a National Historic Landmark in 1989, is in use over 100 days a year since it opened its doors in 1875. The hall has hosted performances by numerous world-renowned artists.
Those artists have included Marian Anderson, Dizzy Gillespie, Pete Seeger, Ella Fitzgerald, Isaac Stern, Yo-Yo Ma, Vladimir Horowitz, Yehudi Menuhin, and Arthur Rubinstein, among many others.
Another regular tenant, of course, is the Albany Symphony Orchestra. The hall is known far and wide for their perfect acoustics of the second floor performing space.
And joining us to discuss the hall, we welcome their executive director, John Elbaum. John, thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Alan. Thank you, Joe. Good
Very
to be back.
Nice to have you with us. Yeah, you were here just a few weeks ago on the show, so it's a delight to have you back. So you're just finishing up your season pretty much, and how did it go?
It was a good season. We had some great programming. It was very exciting. We tried some new things. We tried dance. We talked about the Ellen Sinopoli collaboration that we did a few weeks ago that was quite successful artistically. I just saw the DVD of it and worked very well. As with many programs, we struggle to draw an audience for some of the things that are a little bit out of the box.
Well, you have a reputation as being the most, as Joe mentioned before, acoustically perfect hall in the world.
Indeed.
How do you keep that up? And how do you let people know you have that reputation?
How do you not screw that up?
Yeah. It's a burden that we have to bear every day. It's great. We're very well known within the music industry for our acoustics. I think our challenge is that there's, I think, a large segment of the audience that doesn't really matter so much, that they just want to have a great concert experience, hear wonderful music, and the acoustics are important, but they're really more interested in the overall experience, and that's what we're really trying to educate our audience about.
But, don't you get some artists who would not ordinarily come to a venue of your size? You know, it's fine, but they get 5,000 people into a hall or 10,000 people into a hall. You have how many seats?
We have 1,180.
1,100. It's still a lot of seats. Nevertheless, I have a feeling there are some people who you get just because the sound is so good.
We do. And certainly Yo-Yo Ma, Joshua Bell are among those. We have a very big artist who may be of that caliber that we're working on for next season, but I can't talk about it now.
Boy. Yeah. What a tease.
Yeah, well, you know. And Bruce Hornsby, another example,
I remember talking to Steve Martin when he came, and he said that he was looking for an acoustically perfect hall to come with the banjo and the Steep Canyon Rangers.
Right. Yeah.
That was a few years ago.
Yeah, and a very successful show. We drew a great audience, and you know, those are when the artists know that they want to perform in an intimate, great acoustic environment, they know that we're on the list.
You describe this wonderfully on the on your website, and you have a whole page, and there's graphs and describing the acoustics of the place. And so I would direct people to go there for the full information. But generally, for our audience, what is it about the hall that allows it to have that sound that it has?
Well, there's a few things. Some are intentional, and some are kind of happy accidents. One is the dimensions of the hall that are kind of perfect. They were based on the dimensions of the Paris Opera House in the ratio of the depth of the building with the height and the width. It creates some interesting angles for the sound to bounce off of. There aren't a lot of protrusions into the hall to interrupt the sound waves as they're making their way throughout the house. When the hall was built, it didn't have the organ, and so it was just a straight flat back wall. When the organ was installed, they had to install the cove over the stage to support the organ, and that really changed the nature of the acoustics tremendously, and that made it go from pretty darn good to unbelievable, and we've been benefiting from that ever since.
What is the... I can't believe I'm asking this question, but what is the state of the organ?
The organ is used occasionally. It was partially restored about 8 or 9 years ago. The complete restoration hasn't been funded yet, but we're looking forward to that at some point. We typically have someone come in for the Victorian Stroll, our free concert as a part of that event, and it sounds great. I think there are some certainly issues with some of the registers, but it is a great when it's fired up. It's an amazing sound.
Are you able to recoup the cost of running that place just from the admissions?
No.
How do you do that?
Well, as many presenting culture organizations, only a certain portion of our budget is earned income. In our case, it's a little over half, but which is fairly typical. And we rely on underwriting. We rely on donations, membership, and grants to make up the difference.
When you think of you're putting together a season, it'll be announced soon,
mm-hmm.
for the coming year. What do you look for? Because it is a mix, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you obviously you want to bring in new audiences, you want to show off what the hall does so well, and that all seems like quite a balancing act.
It is. Yeah, you have to really walk a fine line. You have to look at what makes sense financially, commercially. We want to maximize, you know, bring in those new audiences. At the same time, we can't just go and get any, you know, rock and roll show because it just doesn't work in the hall, and it just doesn't make sense for our niche in the market. So, and then, you know, then you have your list of folks you'd like to bring in, and then only half of them are actually touring, and only a fourth of those are going to be in the Northeast and when you want them to be there. So it's kind
of
tough.
Now, what forms of music do you think are on the way down as opposed to the way up? What do you, I mean, if you're, you know, lying there at night thinking about all of this, what do you say, we can't have another string quartet because they didn't do that well last time?
Well, I mean, other than the amazing success that the Albany Symphony is having, classical is pretty tough to draw significant audiences in this market. I mean, in the city it does better, but you know, we've had Troy Chromatics uses our hall for their season, and they bring in some, you know, truly extraordinary orchestras. We just had the Swedish National Chamber Orchestra with Garrick Olsson. Yeah. You know, that should sell 2,000 tickets, and it sold fewer than 500. So that's a challenge, and it's unfortunate because that sounded so amazing in the hall. It really showcased what we can do.
Do you offer them a chance to record at the same time if they come into the world's best musical? Do they say, well, this would be a great opportunity to have, you know, a record of what we've done?
Absolutely. And many groups do take advantage of that, and that's something we're trying to market a bit more. Of course, in this digital time, recording in a natural environment is a little unusual,
right,
and more expensive. So it's a cost-benefit proposition for the artists.
Mm. So your next event is Brassomania?
Brassomania, yes. We have a Flag Day concert, which we partner with the Flag Day Committee and the Marine Detachment here to bring. But because of sequestration, military bands are unavailable for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you gotta love it.
So what happened to them? We used to have them too. Remember, Joe? You know.
Yeah.
Some, yeah.
But how did?
What became of them?
The military. They're there, but they can't go anywhere.
The bus costs too much, but they're being paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. I'm not sure of the exact idea.
You got it too.
Okay. So you are doing what then? So who are you getting?
Well, the Troy Record, which is one of the sponsors, has worked with us, and we found Brassomania, which is a local big band here, and they're going to put on a great program. They've got a vocalist, and there are 14 some pieces, I think, and should be a great show.
Excellent.
8 o'clock, June 8th.
June 8th, 8 o'clock, and it's Brassomania, which is just fun to say. Let's face it.
Sure.
When you, how many things, are you having fewer events, more events, about the same this year?
Just right.
We have the perfect amount of events. We're about the same. We have, you know, we present our own shows, and then we have these great constituent organizations like the Symphony and the Chromatics.
Right.
And you know,
rentals.
Exactly. And the mix of those, we have typically 50 to 60 concerts annually. And then, of course, we do recordings and rehearsals and all the other things. But.
So here's a troublemaking question.
Perfect.
Oh, I love these.
No, you will not love it.
All right.
But I want to ask this because it's always seemed the orchestra, the ASO, plays in both the Palace Theater in Albany and they play in the world's best music hall in Troy. So could you parse that proposition? Do you think that, you know, that there may be some trouble with that?
No, we certainly...
I mean, after all, it's the Albany Symphony Orchestra, not the Troy Symphony Orchestra.
I regard them as a resource and gem of the Capital Region.
Yeah.
And we have to think globally here in our market if we're going to all succeed, frankly.
Yeah.
And we certainly value our friendship with the Palace, and we work with them. They're two different halls, and I think fill two different places in the market. You know, they're much bigger. So when you have these...
What are they? How many do they have?
27, I think.
No
2,700,
kidding. 2,800. That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. And frankly, for an orchestra, that's a pretty big space to fill. I mean, just the sound.
Sure.
And particularly if they're not playing with the whole orchestra, depending on what
the repertoire. Desire, for example.
Well, right. in talking to also because of your stage, have to make some alterations because the entire group can sometimes not always fit if they have a chorus or whatever.
Exactly.
So all those have to be. Exactly. Those considerations have to be taken.
Yep, there's the logistical, there's the financial.
Sure.
You know, you have to put all the...
With that said, and not to be another troublemaking question, but we're here at MPAC. I mean, does that strengthen what you do? Does it take away in any way? I mean, they've been on the scene here for, 5 years now? Mm-hmm. So 4 or 5 years.
So are you in competition with them is what Joe's trying to say.
Brutal. No, I don't think we are. MPAC has a very specific and focused mission in terms of bringing new work into this amazing space. I mean, it's an incredible...
It is.
It's an incredible facility. And, you know, we're blessed to have both of these great institutions, you know, literally within walking distance. You know, but at this point, we're
walking
really not...
Walking distance is a hell of a hell.
Well, you know, it's good for you.
Yes, it is.
You drove. Okay.
But, you know, it's great. And no, we're kind of filling two different ends of the marketing spectrum there.
But do you, like, in my naive, perfect world, you all work together, get along, you know, and is that possible? I mean, can that happen?
I think so. I mean, we work with a number of different organizations. And, again, MPAC has a very specific mission. So
right.
There aren't a lot of ways that we interact based on the production or
but you sort of all have to, whether it's the Palace or the Troy Savings Bank or Proctor. I mean, you all have to sort of get along, don't you?
We do, and certainly collaboration is the buzzword of the day, and we are working actively as our other organizations.
Yes, but has there ever been an incident you don't want to tell us about?
Has there been an incident?
Nothing I can talk about.
Yeah.
That means there has been an incident.
All right, that's what that means. But as far as as you say, that collaboration, those partnerships are very important, and I think you work it out as it goes along, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in the end, the idea is to make us all stronger, to increase the awareness of the arts and what you can actually experience here in the Capital Region, which I think is not as well known as it should be.
Yeah. John Elbaum is the executive director of the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. You can find out more by going to troymusichall.org, troymusichall.org. And if we want to bookmark the page and check back on your schedule, we should start looking about when?
About a month, month and a half.
Like July 15th, somewhere
in
there?
Somewhere
All right.
in there.
Sounds
yeah.
good. John Elbaum, again, executive director of the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. It's troymusichall.org. John, a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you very much. It's always a delight to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll have you come back and talk about the
schedule.
That would
be great.
That'd be great. You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the Albany Symphony's American Music Festival at MPAC on WAMC.